Welcome to the first episode of Unearthing History. My name is Zane and I'm an archaeologist from Perth, Western Australia. But most of you probably know me as Liminality TV from TikTok. I thought I'd start the show by introducing myself, talking about my credentials, and by putting a bit of a disclaimer on the information I provide here. Before I start, I'd like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people who are the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast was recorded and that I live. I pay my respects to their elders past and present, and I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, as well as all Indigenous people across the earth. Liminality TV is a bit of a weird name for a channel about archaeology, I totally agree with that. But that's because it didn't actually start out that way. I began my journey as a content creator on Twitch, where I still stream regularly, and Liminality was my gamertag. It's the name I went by in all the virtual worlds that I played in, so it made sense to use that for Twitch at the time, where gaming is the primary content focus. I first heard the term liminality or liminal in a first year university lecture. I actually can't remember exactly what the topic was, but evidently it was something about ancient Greek because the lecturer was discussing Democritus, who is a Greek philosopher. 2,450 years ago, Democritus wondered what would happen if you continued to cut matter into smaller and smaller pieces. He supposed that eventually it would become uncuttable, and he called those uncuttable pieces atomos, which is where the modern term for atom comes from. In this lecture, it was proposed that Democritus referred to these tiny atomos, or atoms, as liminality, or liminal space, and something about that word just really stuck with me. Now, I've since learned that I either misheard the lecturer or they got it wrong because liminality is actually based on a Latin word limen, meaning threshold. Another definition comes from anthropology, where it refers to the ambiguity or disorientation that occurs during the transitionary period of a rite of passage. That's the phase of existence when the participant no longer holds their pre-ritual status, but has not fully progressed through the ritual to the other side. It's kind of like limbo. More commonly today, though, it's used to refer to liminal space and the associated aesthetics. These spaces relate to the unique feelings of eeriness, nostalgia, and apprehension when people experience places outside of the context in which they were designed for. So, for example, an empty parking lot at night, a deserted city, or a school during summer break. They're places that are usually full of life that are currently absent of this stimuli, creating an otherworldly or forlorn atmosphere. Whichever definition you like, I think it's a pretty cool word, and maybe one day I'll just go by my full name, but I've decided to at least stick with it for now. So now that you know where the name comes from, why should you listen to me? Why should you impart any sort of trust into the information I'm presenting? I mean, anyone can start a podcast or a TikTok account. Why me? Well, I want to be totally transparent, so I'm just going to tell you my qualifications, what I've done, and I want to let you decide for yourself. So I'm a qualified archaeologist who graduated with a double major in history and archaeology from the University of Southern Queensland with distinction. I then completed an honours degree at the University of Western Australia in archaeology and achieved a first class honours as well as receiving the Pat Vinnicombe Award for the highest average grade for that year. Honours degrees are really an Australian thing as far as I know, but you can think of a first class honours as being equivalent to a master's. For example, if you achieve a first class honours, you can go straight onto a PhD, whereas if you achieve a second class or a third class, you can't. My focus as a student, as well as a professional archaeologist, has always been Indigenous Australian archaeology. I did my thesis on stone artifacts from the northwest of Australia in a place called Murujuga. I've talked about Murujuga on my TikTok page before, which you can find a link to in the description, and if you're unfamiliar with the term Murujuga, you may be more familiar with Dampier or the Dampier Archipelago, which is the colonial name for the area. It's actually home to over a million rock art panels, and it's currently being considered for World Heritage listing. About 12,000 years ago, the sea level began to rise here, and a lot of land was lost, and I wanted to investigate how people responded to this sea level rise, and I did this by looking at useware and residue analysis. First of all, useware analysis involves looking at artifacts under varying types of microscopes at different power levels. This allows us to identify marks left on the artifacts from when they were used. If you imagine using a stone tool to saw a piece of wood, for example, it would leave striations and markings along the sharp edge of the tool where you sawed it back and forwards. We can then identify those under a microscope in order to try and determine how that stone tool was used in the past. This is also aided by residue analysis. When artifacts are used to process material like tubers or hides or seafood and other meats or, you know, to saw a tree as we just talked about, some of that material gets trapped inside the tiny crevices on the artifact. And these residues can survive for a surprisingly long period of time. For example, researchers in British Columbia actually found rhino blood on a 250,000-year-old stone axe. Archaeologists can then extract the residues and examine them under a microscope to identify the leftover cells, and in some rare cases we can actually tell exactly what species those cells came from, like for example a rhino or maybe a specific type of plant. The purpose of use wear and residue analysis is to investigate the function of an artifact, and that's why it's often referred to as a functional analysis, and that's what I did for my thesis. Since graduating, I've worked in Tasmania, where I excavated a convict-era roadhouse, which is like a jail in the middle of nowhere where they force prisoners to build roads, but I've primarily focused on working with the indigenous people of the Pilbara region in Western Australia. While there, I've had the absolute privilege to work with some wonderful traditional owners who have welcomed me to their country with open arms and who've become lifelong friends. This has also included working with some mind-blowing archaeology. For example, I've excavated rock shelters with LGM dates, that's the last glacial maximum, which happened 20,000 years ago, and I've even excavated dates as far back as more than 45,000 years ago. But one of the most important aspects of working on this incredible archaeology is trust between the archaeologists and the traditional owners. Information gained on surveys and through excavations and research from the indigenous people is private, and I've never and I would never share that information publicly unless it's in collaboration with those people and I have those permission, and I will never violate that trust. Every piece of information that I share on this podcast and on my TikTok channel comes from publicly accessible information. This is information that the Aboriginal groups have already signed off on being okay to talk about publicly. What I'm doing here is reading papers and articles and compiling information in a way that's accessible to people who may not have the capacity to understand or read archaeological papers, because I believe that archaeology and ancient history is not only fascinating and wonderful to learn, that it should be for everyone, and there's aspects of it that are dramatically underrepresented. For example, when I say the word archaeology, I'm willing to bet that most people's mind instantly goes to Egypt, and that's with good reason. Egypt has some amazing archaeology. But I want to help educate people about the lesser known aspects of archaeology, and that includes Australian archaeology. It's a realization that hit me in the face pretty early on, because I would tell people that I'm an archaeologist, and one of the first things they'd say in Australia is, okay, but what do you actually do? Like, there's no archaeology in Australia. I think for the most part this is just a position of ignorance rather than anything malicious, but it speaks to the lack of resources and general knowledge about the incredibly varied, rich, beautiful, and the continuing culture that we have right here on our doorstep in Australia, and it's my hope that I can help to change that. The disclaimer I mentioned earlier is that I wanted to be clear. I'm not an expert. I have a degree in archaeology, I work as a professional archaeologist, and I'm building my skills up so that I can do my PhD in use wear and residue analysis and become a specialist, but I'm not there yet. For some people, this will exclude me as an information source because they only want to hear from the absolute best experts, and I completely understand that, and that's why I want to make that disclaimer. The way archaeology works, and I think most sciences work this day, is that it's very, very specialized. There are people who may have a PhD in a very specific type of rock art, and that makes them a specialist on that type of rock art, but it doesn't necessarily make them a specialist in rock art in general. For example, somebody may have done a PhD in all their work on Australian rock art, but they may not know anything about something from Europe or Africa. Of course, some of those skills do transfer over, and they'd be more qualified to speak on rock art than most people on Earth, but I do know some archaeologists who have studied stone artifacts specifically for their PhD that know nothing about rock art, and vice versa. The point I'm trying to make here is that the information I get comes from experts, and if I say something that's incorrect, it's most likely because I've misinterpreted what that expert said. If it comes to my attention that something I've posted becomes wrong with time as new information is discovered, or I just straight up got it wrong, I'll post a correction, and I want to know if I got something wrong, so you can find contact details in the show notes. The best way to contact is either through Discord, email, or TikTok. For those of you who made it this far, thank you very much. This is something that's been called for on my social media. Pretty much as soon as I started posting archaeological content, people wanted more, so I'm happy that I can finally do this. The aim of the show is to post at least one episode per week that builds on or is a totally separate subject to something I've posted on my TikTok. I'm also hoping that I'll be able to bring on other archaeologists who have interests that are different to mine to provide different perspectives and also provide us with a bunch of specialist information. So thank you for listening. My name is Zane, and this is Unearthing Histories.